We are Radio Rotary right here, right now on WHVW. Scott is here. Scott.
Oh, thank you. This is our 4th of July show, and we are going to discuss two things today. But before that, of course, this is your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you from New York's beautiful Hudson Valley and Rotary District 7210. We have an interesting show today, and we're not sure how it's going to work, because we're really going to explore some issues that are of importance to you, because I know all of you want to become Rotarians. But the first off, since it is the 4th of July, we are going to use a book called Lady Liberty. It's a biography by Doreen Rappaport, illustrated by Matt Tavares. And in this is a children's picture book, and it has all sorts of pictures and poems and all the people that had anything to do with the Statue of Liberty that the French gave to the United States. Now, the pedestal was not given to us. We had to have the pedestal, and they had fundraisers for the pedestals in 1883, was it? And they would do things like have asked the children to send in pennies or quarters, and people would send in money. And one woman, Florence DeForest, didn't have any money, so she sent in two roosters instead and said, please sell these roosters and give the money to the Statue of Liberty. So it wasn't just other people just sending in their pennies. It was people sending in roosters and so on. And this was all done by Joseph Pulitzer. And it's a very interesting look at it. And one of the fundraisers was a poetry and artist auction that they had in 1883 in New York City. And this is by Emma Lazarus, and she was the poet that wrote this poem. And it was a difficult time in the world at that time. In the past few years in Russia, hundreds of Jews had been killed, thousands had been persecuted, their homes burned, their shops destroyed. And so, set against that background, Emma Lazarus wrote this poem. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free, the wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest toast to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door. And that is something that Rotary is always saying, that we like to have as many different people as possible. Now, going back, I want to talk about the melting pot. As a child, I first learned about the melting pot of the United States. I imagined it a swirling of colors and ideas and religions, languages, and creeds, although I didn't really know what a creed was at the time, and diversity of thoughts and talents. What a glorious mixture, and that's what Rotary is. We have all these different people that are so talented. It's a true melting pot. And we have all sorts of things. Now, there was a student that Caitlin, who works at the bookstore, told me is her roommate named Justine, and she was in this immigration class. And she said, and she's in immigration class in Binghamton, in upstate New York, and she said, America isn't a melting pot. It's a salad bowl. Tomato is still a tomato, and lettuce is still lettuce, but together they make a salad. People retain their own cultures and identities, but together they make a vibrant new nation. And that's what Rotary does, too. We take all of these different people's cultures and identities from all around the world, and we make a tremendous Rotary International program. Now, we're going to explore today, how do you become a Rotarian? What is Rotary? Those are some of the questions we hope to answer, and we have a team of experts here, along with a first-time Rotarian who has had one meeting in Rotary. And so Danielle will chirp at any time that she doesn't understand something we're talking about and ask us to explain it further. And hopefully, we can. So what's the basic question is, what is Rotary?
Rotary International is an association of Rotary clubs worldwide. It's made up of more than 32,000 Rotary clubs in over 200 countries and geographical areas. The members of these autonomous clubs are called Rotarians, and they form a global network of 1.2 million business and professional leaders, all volunteering their time, talents, and talents to serve their communities and the world. Individual Rotary clubs, in turn, belong to the global association called Rotary International.
Well, see, that's very important. That we have our each club. You have your local club that you would belong to. And what's fascinating is I've traveled around the world, well, not very far around the world, but in the Northeast anyway, and visited the different clubs. They are so unique. Each club is different. Each club has their own personalities, their own talents. Magnificent people, the Rotarians are. And it's a wonderful group to belong to, and you get to be a service to your community. So now, how do you become a member of Rotary? Who would like? We have with us in the studio today. We have Ed and Roger and Brian, who are expert panel. And which one of you would like to answer? How do I become a member of Rotary?
Well, I'd like to let our outgoing president, Ed Lynch, answer that question because he's got an application in his hand today. And there's a process, and the process is a very fair, equitable one to all the Rotarian members. And Ed, I believe a clue would be someone in the club meets someone in their professional networking and thinks that they might be interested in coming.
Well, if you're interested in joining a local Rotary Club, there is a prospective membership form. It's a good idea to actually try to meet a local Rotarian and get an opportunity to go to their meeting and see what it's all about. And, of course, there's a lot of good information on the Rotary International website. That is rotary.org. And a lot of the questions we're asking today are on that site and with answers, and so I would encourage you to learn more there. After being at a club, you would submit an application. The club board has to meet and agree to bring you up for membership. The members get a couple weeks to sort of respond to your candidacy, and then we bring you into the club. So it takes a little bit of time, but not that long. And anyone who's interested should definitely check us out.
Ed, do you need to have a sponsor and somebody already being in the Rotary in order to join?
Well, we always have someone sponsor a member. And, you know, if you just find a local Rotary club, I'm sure, you know, talking to any of the members, it'll be easy to find a sponsor. So that's not a problem.
That's a great point. You do have to have a sponsor. And the way to find a club that's nearest to you, and it could be a club that's near you where you work or where you live, depending on your schedule, you go to rotary.org, and there's a locator which will locate all the clubs all around the world, all 32,000 clubs. And I'm sure there's one in your neighborhood where you live or work, and you can do that.
That list also has the towns. Like I know in our district, Arlington comes first, then you go to Beacon. So all the familiar towns and villages in Dutchess County would have that. And then as you go into the upper levels of the district near Albany or down by Rockland, I think we have eight counties, right, Scott?
It's eight counties in District 7210.
Right. It's broken up into regions. And what's the next thing after regions?
Zones.
Zones. And so in our zone, we have... Now we have 65 clubs, I believe.
That's our district.
Our district. We have 65 clubs. So that's an exciting thing. So the qualifications for membership, what are some of the qualifications? Do you have to be a lawyer?
Well, you should be in a profession, either a proprietary, CEO, manager, executive, possibly an educator. There are many slots that Rotary represents. They try not to have a club that's entirely comprised of one profession. It's only fair that it's a mixture for diversity. They should have a vision for community service. First question I like to ask people that have never been to Rotary is, if you were in this club or if you were an officer or committee chair, what would your vision be? What one project would you have a passion for? Because if people have a passion for something, chances are they're going to do a lot of work to make it happen. Be able to meet weekly. Some clubs meet for breakfast. Some meet for lunch. Some for dinner. Whatever works for your schedule. It depends on your profession. And you should either live or work near the vicinity of that Rotary Club. As Scott said, if you're living in another county but working here, you can join either way, whatever's more convenient.
That's great. Thank you, Roger. I think it's a great idea to visit the clubs just to see if you like meeting and going to Rotary and helping out. Just help out in the beginning. Just volunteer for some of their projects. So you were talking about your meeting once a week, Roger. So what are some of the attendance requirements?
Well, attendance requirements, we have a club secretary. We have officers in Rotary. There's a parliamentary structure which gives everybody somebody to go to for answers. And our secretary will keep track of everybody's attendance. We announce when somebody's had perfect attendance for so many meetings. And the percentage that you have to go basically is not as important as going regularly. So if you miss your own club meeting, you can go do a makeup anywhere. They give you proof that you attended. You might get to meet a new group of people or a guest speaker. And sometimes people intentionally go to another Rotary. If they hear that a famous celebrity or a legislator, or there might be yesterday, like we had an orchestral piece that was our program. We all were able to enjoy classical Mozart for instead of a guest speaker. So we had some people come visit just because they had heard through publicity that that was our guest.
That's great. And I agree. And the word makeup means you're making up a meeting that you missed. And you can make it up anywhere in the world. For example, Brian, whose brother is a Rotarian out in Illinois, when he goes out to visit him, he makes up the Rotary meetings there. Well, so, Brian, what are the differences between the Rotary Club in Illinois and the Rotary Club in Millbrook that you belong to?
Well, the first thing is size. My brother is in the North Peoria Rotary. Peoria is big enough that they have a North and a regular Rotary. They have 200 members.
Wow.
Millbrook has 35 members. Also, I live in Pleasant Valley, and I know the Pleasant Valley Club has 8 members. There's a great deal of difference in how each club operates. But beyond that, it's pretty much the same. And I've also been to a Rotary meeting on the island of St. Martin, and it was essentially the same kind of meeting as I'm used to for Millbrook. So around the world, I'm sure that's true.
Traveling the world. We have a member who lives off his exchange students.
Got to have a little quick story here. I was up in Bar Harbor, Maine, camping last summer, and we wanted to go to a restaurant for lunch. So we went to Acadia National Park, walked into the restaurant that had the best view of Bar Harbor, and people just said, "Oh, are you here for the Rotary meeting?" And I just dropped. Here I am in shorts, my camper, my tent, and all that. I said, "No, but I'll be glad to stay." So it was a good surprise.
I know, it's amazing. I went to one Rotary in Maine that I'm looking around the room, and there's a lot of people there. And I finally meet one Rotarian from that club. And I say, "Well, how big is your club?" And he goes, "Maybe 20, 25. And there's 100 people in the place. And they're all visitors. It's all It was like 90 visitors and 10 people from the club.
And aren't you supposed to bring back like a little flag or banner if you travel internationally? I know some clubs display what they bring back.
That's right. We do that in Millbrook. We exchange flags. You have a little banner that is representing your club. And when you go to wherever you go, Canada or any place, you trade banners with them. But there are some Rotarians that do their makeups locally because it's easy for them to go to, say, Millbrook Club, and so they'll go and do exchange there. Then you wouldn't do a banner because, you know, you've come so many times that would hurt our banner supply.
Absolutely.
So now we've found out how to become a member. We found out what is Rotary. And all of these questions, as Ed said, are on Rotary.org. So if you want to get a little fuller thing, now let's explore it. Let's ask, is there a minimum age to be a Rotarian? I'll tell you, there isn't a minimum age, but you do have to be established in a career. You have to be, it's not good to be in college, for example, and running around because you won't be able to make the meetings. So in college, we have something called
Rotaract.
And Rotaract is what, Roger?
Well, if you go down one more level, I know Scott's a big proponent of getting middle school kids in early act, but high schools interact. And after high school, you go to a college, and many of them have a Rotaract club. We just started one here in Poughkeepsie at Vassar College 2 years ago, which is really interesting because the students take their junior year abroad, and we actually held elections by internet last year. And it's just amazing. So Rotaract is the pre-professional level. You're still in college, or it could be community-based, where you're not on a college campus and you're in a community where there is no college. You can have a Rotaract club because it's a little younger population, say in their 20s, rather than someone established or retired.
Right. I agree. It's a great way to start doing some community service and socialize and be with your friends. And Interact, which is for high school age level, is a magnificent thing for high school students. And then we call it a Millbrook Junior Interact, but Rotary International is going to be calling it Early Act or something. And they haven't really come up with an official name. We've had Junior Interact for maybe 7 or 10 years now in Millbrook, and we love it. Then that's for 3rd through 5th grade. And then we have another one in middle school, which is 6th through 8th grade, and then the high school is 9 through 12. So we have 3 Interact-type clubs in Millbrook.
I remember last week you had a director on from Lutheran Care Center who mentioned that they do proms with seniors And Heather, we're looking forward to having Interact students come in and help make a prom for seniors. You know, a lot of seniors never had a prom. I didn't have one when I was
I went to an all-boys school.
I couldn't get a date. You know.
No, but we had that's right. And as I mentioned also, you can do senior socials. And that leads into ElderX. So really, Rotary is for all ages. There's just different group names for your age group. So, and that's what, coming back, that's what the high school students do. And how do you locate a club in your area? Again, you go to the locator on rotary.org. Now, some of the other questions, let's now talk about, we talked about making
a... Hey, Scott, why don't you mention something about the roadside signs
that would great
lead
point.
Someone to a club?
That is, we've talked about that on our first show. We really haven't talked about it since. And this is our 6 months' worth of shows, so this is amazing. But
50 guests.
Over 50 guests. We have, you see those little yellow and blue signs that are on the highways and say Rotary on it and has a restaurant name or a place
gear.
Name on it.
It looks like a gear, right?
Looks like a gear.
Very industrial.
So that's exactly right. We're going to find out more about that gear in a minute. So that little yellow sign with a blue writing will tell you where the meeting is. And so if you see one that says Wednesday 12:15 at whatever restaurant it is, then you can go to that restaurant and try out, see if you like Rotary, and that Rotary Club will walk you through the process.
And they usually put them near traffic lights because the print is kind of fine, so you don't want to be trying to read that as you're driving by. You wind up at a Kiwanis.
Well, the all-service organizations are good, of course, but Rotary just happens to be magnificent. And I
was a guest speaker at Kiwanis. I love that group very much.
So that'll tell you where they are in your without having to go to the website. And now Roger and Ed were talking about what kind of people are Rotarians. Really, it's everybody, farmers and anybody who has a profession or a skill. Or you could be retired. Brian.
In Millbrook Rotary, my favorite profession is shepherd.
Shepherd. We have a shepherd. That's right. We have a shepherd. And Brian's our incoming president in Millbrook, so he'll be interested. He'll shepherd us all through the process. Now, so those are some of the things. And then we have some of these other questions. There's a lot of questions on the website that you can ask yourself and find the answers to on the rotary.org. The next thing we're going to talk about is Paul Harris, and Brian is going to talk about why is it with the gear, and he's also going to talk to us about something called the Paul Harris Foundation, which is available for non-Rotarians to submit to as well. So here's Brian Bunch, incoming president of the Millbrook Rotary.
Well, Rotary was founded in 1903. It's the very first service club in the world that does this kind of service. And the founding person was Paul Harris. He and three associates got together and wanted to do something good for the community. And they started meeting regularly in each other's houses. And the meeting rotated from one to another, one place to another. And so they decided to call themselves Rotarians. I'm not actually sure where the gear came from, but it certainly symbolizes turning from one to another. And today, we honor Paul Harris as through the Rotary Foundation, which is a separate organization allied with Rotary International that is the actual source of many of the international projects, group study exchange in which groups of professionals come from one country to study in another. And for a month, the Rotary sponsors youth exchange, high school students or others back and forth. And also polio eradication. These all are projects of the Rotary Foundation. People who are members of Rotary and contribute money to the Rotary Foundation can become, as Scott has done, a Paul Harris Fellow, which suggests that you are have contributed a significant amount to helping the world better financially.
Over a period of time.
Right. You don't have to do it all at once.
I did $100 a year.
Or you can become a member of the Paul Harris Society, which you promise to continue to do that every year. These days, a lot of the contributions are going to match the grant that the Rotary Foundation got from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation of $100 million to complete the eradication of polio, and that's being matched by members of Rotary around the world over a three-year period, and then we will have, we hope, eliminated polio in the last four remaining countries from which, like smallpox, it should never come back.
That's great. That's great. Now, I just want to remind everybody that today's show was brought to you by the Lutheran Care Center and Metropole. And thank you very much for doing that, those two groups, because it is important to keep this show going. And if we don't have sponsors or underwriters, it will not be on the air. So going back to one of the other areas that we talk about in Rotary is service. So by participating in local and international service projects, club members can volunteer their time and talents where they are most needed. And there are four avenues of service that which are our cornerstone and the foundation of which the club activity is based. We have club service, vocational service, community service, and international service. And the other thing I like is that as a new member coming in, let's say you have an interest in working with the elderly. Well, you can come in, and if the club is not doing something with that group, start something. So you don't have to be stuck in just what the Rotary Club is doing. You can add to it, and that's the whole purpose of getting all these different people in, is so that you can expand your service to the community in different ways.
I think that's what attracted one of our newer members to work with the elderly. I believe our sponsor.
Absolutely. Can't wait to bring new programs to the elderly.
We're doing a lot of good things. Another program that Rotary does is something called Rotary World Peace Fellowships. And fellows can earn an advanced degree in peace studies and conflict resolution at one of the six Rotary Centers for International Studies. So, and the application, people should apply for that through your local club. You do not have to be a Rotarian to get that, but you do need to apply through your local club.
We have Ryla going on, I think, next week, don't we?
Ryla, I love Ryla. Yep, Ryla is Rotary Youth Leadership Awards. Thank you.
About 125 10th graders. 125 get to hear motivational speakers.
Is that incoming 10th graders or out?
They have to be a 10th grader in order to apply. So next year they'll be juniors.
So they'll be juniors. So 10th graders. 125, you said, Roger?
Roughly 125, and they stay on the college campus. They're completely treated to their room and board and their leadership, and most adults cannot participate except as advisors.
We had a student on earlier, in January maybe, who had gone to last year's Ryla, or 2 years ago, and he said it was one of the best experiences he'd ever had. And it really does promote leadership among the youth, and it's a great thing. So Ryla, and you have to be selected from your club, from your local club, and the local club pays for the Ryla. Like Millbrook sent three this year, and usually that you sent, most clubs send two or one to it, and just from your community. So that's something about it. And there's all sorts of good things about Rotary. And Roger has a...
There was one project that you mentioned briefly about international service projects. The local club, the Arlington Rotary Club, thanks to one of the members of the board, has been working in partnership with Vassar Brothers Hospital in sending over $1 million in St. Francis. Thank you, Ed. And another Duchess now. We have three partners that take medical equipment that might be along with some dog. Thank you. Ed, would you like to describe that project? And these medical supplies, in partnership with Rotary Clubs down the Caribbean, for example, cost the Rotary Clubs locally nothing. The hospitals donated, and they were able to write it off their inventory. And countries that never had a clinic or never had a hospital have beds arriving and all kinds of medical equipment. It's unbelievable.
Now, Roger, with that, can people that are not Rotarians, that maybe are involved in healthcare or other places, be able to then donate those things
Absolutely.
To you guys?
Absolutely.
And where would that kind of information, and when we talked about publicity and advertising, how would the layperson that may just know of a place that has this stuff go to be able to donate?
That's a very good question, Danielle. She's not with us today, but our district chairperson, publicity, would be putting out billboards, radio spots, and things like that. And one of our goals for next year is to make sure that things like this are known and that there's an access for a person to bring that equipment and who to contact.
Right. It's definitely non-Rotarians can help. They can go to events. They can help in many, many different ways. You can be a part-time Rotarian in that way, and sort of. I mean, it's not really a classification, but it's a good thing to do. Ed, you were going to say?
Yeah, you could call the station here and ask how to get hold of the Arlington Rotary Club, and we would get hold of you if you have any donations to be made.
And that number is 471-9500.
That's great.
WHVW, one of our big supporters of humanitarian efforts here in the Valley.
So now, we have a couple minutes left, and in the last section, Ed is outgoing president. He's leaving July 1st. He's been president for the past year. Is that right? So, Ed, let's briefly tell us what your year was like. Is there anything like you thought it would be when you first started?
Well, I had a pretty good idea of what it was like since I'd been a member for 6 years. Basically, I tell people the club almost runs itself, and it's true that all of the members really pitch in. So this is not like some businesses where people get very competitive and they don't want to help one another. We're all in this together. So some people have dealt with certain aspects of things we do for many years, and they just know how to make it work. We get new members, and we always want to get new members involved. So actually, we have two of our newest members involved in putting this program together, in getting in contact with our speakers and so on. And so there's all sorts of different things that club members can do. And my job was basically just to sort of make sure that everything was working and to run the meetings. I'd field a number of phone calls at times and have to make sure that there weren't any glitches. We knew who our speakers were going to be for the next week or two. And of course, we have a lot of fundraising projects, and that requires time and effort. We have different scholarships that we give, so there's people on committees to do that. It melted away.
Sounds like you did a great job. Now, I want to ask Brian, who's coming in as an incoming president, what are your expectations?
Well, first of all, I want to mention that Rotary does an absolutely great job of preparing people for office. Unlike any other organization I've been in, they arrange nearly always for anyone to know a year in advance that they are going to be president or whatever office it is. And then if you are going to be president, shortly before your term starts, you're required to go to presidential training. And they have there's also a Rotary Leadership Institute that teaches you how to run things. So in theory, I should know what I'm doing. In practice, we'll see how it all works out.
No, you're going to do a great job, Brian. How long have you been a Rotarian, Brian?
I've been a Rotarian 4 or 5 years. I lose track.
So now Danielle, who's our just brand new member of the Arlington Club yesterday, you're going to be president the following year, right?
Well, absolutely. I wouldn't have it any different.
With her vision.
I have to add that at yesterday's meeting, when I walked in, the minute I walked in, I had numerous people come up and grab me and, hi, how are you? Are you here for the meeting? Everybody was wonderful.
All right, so now I just want to, in closing, we're going to have a story from the Statue of Liberty here in Poughkeepsie. Roger has a story about...
Well, the story goes that we all know about the Statue of Liberty, Lady Liberty, by Ellis Island. Beautiful trip if you've never done it. For $8, you can see that and Ellis Island together. When the French gave it to us, they also gave 4 fountains. And one of those fountains, called the Soldiers and Sailors Monument and Fountain, is right here by the Clearwater Project office, right in Poughkeepsie, right near the library, right near the Y. So if you ever want to see a fountain that was a twin gift from France to the United States, it's right here in Poughkeepsie.
Thank you, Roger. Thank you, Ed. Thank you, Brian and Danielle. You're all magnificent. And this is Rotarian, your host, Rotarian Scott Meyer, speaking to you for the beautiful Hudson Valley and District 7210, which you can find on the website. And today's show was sponsored by Lutheran Care Center and Metropool, and we really thank them very, very much for doing that.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July. Thank you.